All right, thank you very much. Good morning. It's good to be with you all today. Once a year, about, we come back and we're able to spend some time in the Midwest. During the summers, we spend a bit of time at Turkey Hill. We just had 2 weeks of ministry, two different camps, and now we have a little bit of break, and then we have another week of day camp in Lawrence, Kansas, in after this coming week. So we'll be heading back to the California coast and then taking a little break. And then, Lord willing, we'll be coming back September through January for a furlough. So we'll be around here a little bit longer. Susan's glad. I'm so excited. You hear that? That's great. So it'll be nice to be back. We'll be kind of in between places during that time. We'll be in St. Louis at Turkey Hill, where my family is, and then in Lawrence, Kansas as well, where we're also commended from another church. So trying to make two commending churches super happy by spending time with both, and that's really hard. But it's good to be with you all today, and this morning I'm going to give a little report about the work in California, but we're also going to hear a little bit from the Word of God, and that's what I want to do first, is to try to encourage you with something the Lord's encouraged me with over the last 6 months, and that's from 1 Kings chapter 1, 1 Kings chapter 17, actually, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 17. I have up here, Don't Stop Believing God, and this is according to the keynotes, kind of like a photo presentation booklet, and that's kind of the idea today, is I'm going to turn the pages of the album and show you a little bit of what our life's like in California and what God's been doing, because you guys have been very supportive of the work in a lot of ways, praying for us, financially giving, getting advice from the elders here at the church about things has been a huge blessing as well, and in many other ways. And so I just wanted to share with you what God is doing. So I really hope that will be an encouragement to you to see what God's doing in California. But first, don't stop believing God. This is something God has been reminding me of this last year, is continue to believe in God. Now, I'm not talking about salvation at all. I'm just talking in life. Believe God. Believe God for what's ahead. Believe God with the difficult things. Believe God with the good things. Believe God with the unknowns. And that's what I want to look at. So the first little point is going to be in 1 Kings 19. We're not going to look at a lot, but just three points, just three simple points to encourage you guys this morning, hopefully, from the life of Elijah. Elijah is kind of jumps off the pages in 1 Kings chapter 7, and we have a little bit of his life, of what took place. And there are wonderful things that we can see in Elijah's life, of how he honored the Lord. Some mistakes maybe, or some things we wouldn't maybe say are mistakes, but some things we can definitely learn from. And the first is in chapter 17, verse 1. We can read this. Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead settlers said to Ahab, Ahab's the king, as the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. Now, if you don't know this story at all, this is pretty amazing story, because what's happening is there's this guy named Elijah that just comes from nowhere. And if we were to look into his history, we can find that he's kind of like a guy from the backwood country of somewhere. That's what a Gilead settler, Tishbite, would be. They're like kind of shepherds, kind of in the middle of nowhere. They wandered around and didn't really necessarily have a home or a good job. And so kind of as I talk with my brother, he married a woman from Arkansas, kind of like a hillbilly from down in Arkansas is what it might remind you of. And so this guy, Elijah, comes to a king, Ahab, who, if you know the story, it's not a good king. His wife is very wicked. And he stands before him, and he tells him some bad news. It's not going to rain in your country unless God tells it to. And so that's pretty bold for him to do that, because this woman, we'll see, or we would see if we looked at the story, actually kills a bunch of people for following God. And so he stands there and says, hey, there's not going to be any rain. Now, what makes a man who is from the backwoods of nowhere stand before a very wicked king and say, hey, you're not going to have rain in your land? Well, what it is it says it in this verse. Look at it. As the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand. That's what made this man, Elijah, able to do what he was doing. He stood in God's presence. He was someone that loved being with God. And that's the first encouragement to us today, and one that God's been encouraging me over the last year, really probably most of my Christian life, but specifically this last year, is don't stop standing in his presence. You know, life fills up with a lot of wonderful things, but it also has a lot of tough things that happen in life. And perhaps some of you are going through some of those tough things right now. I have no idea what you've brought to church today, but I do know that in my life, when the tough things hit, the first thing that I find myself doing is I need to go be with God. I need to go spend time in His presence. I need to go stand with Him, sit with Him, walk with Him somewhere. And as I do, bringing myself to God and letting Him reveal Himself through His word, through prayer, there's joy and there's peace that comes. Elijah could do something very hard in his life that he was called to do because he was a man who stood in God's presence. So encouragement to us is be a people that stand in His presence. Doesn't matter how young or how old, we all must be standing in His presence each day. If we're not, then we're putting ourselves in a place that's going to be a little bit hard to handle those tough things or those big calls that God puts our way when He calls us to do something. The second point is in verses 3 through 4. Trust God with every season of life. So he just went and did something pretty crazy, stood in the presence of a king, which we could equate to going and standing before the president today and saying, hey, guess what? The country of the United States will not receive rain unless God commands it. Well, President Trump might not like that very much. Well, we go from that to now all of a sudden in verses 3 through 4, it says, God said to him, leave here, turn eastward, and hide at the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Again, just kind of giving you the picture here. God has just told this man who did something wonderful because he stood in God's presence, he obeyed. He is now saying, I want you to go hide out in this Wadi, which a Wadi is a desert place that is usually dry if there's not any rain. Well, what's about to happen? The rain's about to go away. So he's about to go hide out somewhere where it's going to dry up. There's not going to be water provided for him. He's going to be all alone. And look at this. Ravens are going to provide his food. I don't know if you've ever had birds provide for you. I haven't. But I'm sure that must have been quite an interesting experience, especially ravens, who we really don't like ravens in California because we had a little baby raven that fell out of the tree in our front yard. And whenever we would go outside, you know what happens? The mom and the dad would come swooping down trying to get us. And right above your head, and you're just kind of shooing them off. I do not like ravens. But here, God uses these ravens, which actually, for Elijah, would have been considered unclean animals, to provide what he needed to live off of. So he goes from this wonderful, amazing moment of being used for God to all of a sudden being all alone in a desert where the water's going to dry up and he's fed by unclean animals. And that little point there, trust God with every season of life, is one that I've had to remember this year because we've had some tough seasons in our life in general, but there's been tough seasons this year for us in California. And in every season of life, God always provides and takes care of his people. Whether it's physical provision that's needed, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, financial, whatever it is, if we are a people that will trust God, look to God, believe God, rest in God, follow God, obey God, God's a God that takes care of us in those seasons. You know what? He actually does it when we're not doing those things too. We heard about that today. Sometimes we wander away from him, and what does he do? He lovingly welcomes us back to him. So again, I don't know the season of life that you might be in right now. Perhaps everything's going great. Perhaps it's a tough season. But trust God with whatever season you're in right now. He's allowed you to be there for a purpose. Perhaps it's something that you've done and it's caused a problem in your life. Well, God knew that that would happen. You can still trust him in every season of life. I'm sure this was hard for Elijah, but God had a point in this, and this was to prepare him for what would be coming ahead, which was a big mountaintop moment in his life. And so we're not going to actually look much at the story of Elijah. One more point I want to show you, and this is again in chapter 19, verse 3. We're skipping ahead to the end of Elijah's story. After the wilderness experience, he goes and lives with a widow whose son dies, and God uses Elijah to raise him from the dead, and this woman becomes a follower of God. And then God takes Elijah and has him go defeat the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He builds an altar, and they build an altar, and these prophets call out to their God, trying to get this fire to consume their altar, and it doesn't happen, and God wins, and this mighty victory has taken place. Fire comes down from heaven, burns up this altar, the stone and the water, all of it's gone. And the people know that God is God. But then in chapter 19, actually in verse 1, it says, Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done just now at Mount Carmel and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow. She basically, in modern day terms, sends him a text saying, I'm going to kill you. And what does Elijah do? In verse 3, it says, he became afraid and immediately ran for his life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this place in life before where you've seen God do some pretty awesome things. He's maybe provided for you financially. He's healed someone in your home that was struggling physically. He's restored a marriage. He's brought a wandering child back into your life again. I have no idea what it is, but sometimes when something wonderful happens and we see God do something awesome, the next time something tough hits, what do? We doubt God again. I do, at least. Maybe you don't, but I do. Let me give an example. Finances has always been one that just gets me. When it's tough financially, what do I always do? I just like, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. But God has never failed us. Never, ever failed us. And so I want to encourage you, when it's really hard, don't stop believing God. Believe him to do the impossible in those situations. Believe him to take care of that tough situation or that individual that you're praying for that needs to turn back to the Lord or something in your life that you're struggling through. God can, I should say, God wants to, and God can take care of those situations. So don't stop believing God. So just three encouragements from the story of Elijah before we get into a little report of what God's doing. These three things have been really important in my life. Don't stop standing in God's presence is one that God has been reminding me of again and again. There's a lot that we need to pray about in the work in California. And if I'm not standing in God's presence, I'll be honest, I just don't know what to do some days. I don't know how to handle tough situations. I don't know how to handle the tough guy at church that's kind of rebelling against us at times. I don't know how to move forward sometimes if I'm not in God's presence. Trust God with all seasons of life is one that God's been teaching us. We moved out there almost 8 years ago now, and a lot has happened in those 8 years. A lot of different seasons, a lot of tough things, a lot of great things. And we're wanting to trust God with all seasons of life. And then, of course, don't stop believing God is a big one. And that's what we're going to see in the slides that come. There is a video. It's going to show. Sweet. We weren't sure if it would show. It's not no sound to it, but it's just going to play for a moment. I just kind of wanted to let you guys know, again, of what we're doing in California. Some maybe are visiting today. Some have never seen me before. Some maybe don't know me well, but we live in this town of Watsonville, California. It's on the coast there, close to San Francisco, 2 hours south. It's a small town, beautiful town in many ways, and not so beautiful in other ways. But it's a town that is 80% Hispanic. A lot of migrant workers are there working the fields, and you can see it all over town. It's like being, it really is like being in South America, Central America, and I love that because my wife and I always wanted to be missionaries in Central South America. So there's five core families out there right now, soon to be three because the Lord's moving two of those families on to other places. But there's five of us that are working towards reaching the community with the gospel, discipling individuals that come to us, and seeing new work started throughout North America. Watsonville is filled with a lot of need, whether it's drug addiction, suicidal struggles, a lot of broken homes. This is the high school. You can see some of these kids there that the Lord's given us opportunity with, a lot of homeless people all over the place. A lot of people that have never heard the gospel, the clear gospel, the true gospel. A lot of belief that salvation is by faith and works, that you have to go to church, you have to give, you have to worship a certain way. It's not a true gospel of faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so there's a great need locally. Our mission in California is kind of summed up in these words. We desire to make Christ known in our community, equip people to know and faithfully serve him, and strengthen and encourage gospel works throughout North America. And that's what I want to share with you today is those three things, the community that we're in, discipleship, and new works throughout North America. The first, oh, The first point that I wanted to just kind of cover is that we are believing God for the community that we live in. There's a great need, as I mentioned, and so what we do is we try to show the community we love them by taking time to have outreaches at our building. This is outside of our building, and we set up pretty regularly to do some kind of event outside, especially during holidays. This is an Easter celebration. We have an Easter egg hunt in the building, and we have individuals come, face painting. We're handing out gospel literature. David Reeve, one of the core members there, is in the blue shirt and shorts there. He's given a gospel. He's bilingual, so I'm sure that day, I can't remember, he was probably speaking both English and Spanish because there are many just Spanish speakers in our community. And so we will set up outside, invite people to come, hear the gospel, have opportunity to get to know them, invite them to a Bible study if they'd like to. They're playing some games out there. They're actually set up right now trying to get people to come to a young people's group called The Outlet that I'll share about later. We use the building quite often for Bible studies. This is actually a YMCA group, the three on the back side of that photo, the girl and the two Hispanic boys. Are all three leaders of the YMCA or employees of YMCA, and one of our disciples that was with us started to talk to them about the gospel, and they wanted to do a Bible study, and so they started meeting in the building once a week to do a Bible study from individuals at the YMCA, which actually is a huge praise because about 5 years ago we did Chalk Talk gospel message outside, and we had about 80 kids from the YMCA, and we gave them all Bibles, and then they went back to the YMCA, and the leader at the time, the manager, took those Bibles, threw them in the dumpster, and the next day gave them gay pride literature and had them read that. So this is a huge change for them to now have individuals that actually employed that want to hear the gospel. So we're really thankful how the Lord is giving opportunities. And then we just invite people in. We have a pool table right when you walk in our building. People will come in to play pool, ping pong, foosball. And then just hang out, eat meals, do different things. The guy on the far left is Mel. I've mentioned him before. Continue to pray for him. His life is a life filled with gang. He was a member of a gang for a long time. He was in a lot of shootouts and was shot himself multiple times. Almost killed a guy. Went to prison. That guy had come to know the Lord and said, "I forgive you, Mel." So the Lord's been working on Mel and his family's life for a long time. Mel got saved a while ago, but is struggling to stay in fellowship, so we would love for that to continue on. The Lord's done something new recently, and this is the park right across from our home. He's given us opportunity to do park ministry. So just going out on a Friday night, the parks in our community is very small. 50,000 is what it feels like sometimes, but it's closer to 80 or 90,000. But you just walk everywhere. You see the same people when you're walking around. You don't drive as much as you walk, it seems like. So the parks are filled in the evenings on Friday, and we just decided to go out and share the gospel and do chalk talks, or chalk on the ground, I guess, and share a gospel message. Christina's had the joy of last minute being a translator from English to Spanish, because like that group, you can see a lot of Hispanics, and many of them would not know English. So God's given many opportunities with that, and we're looking forward to that park ministry continuing on as the Lord would want. I wanted to mention, there's a girl, let's see if I can point here, got a point here. This girl right here, her name is Anaya, and how this whole thing started, this park ministry, is we started to do evangelism outreach. We had 3 weeks, we were going to just focus on evangelism outreach in our community. We had six disciples with us, and we wanted to teach them techniques of doing evangelism. So Ethan Hanlon, a guy that's with us right now, one of the core families, did a terrific job. If you ever want evangelism training, he's the guy. He does a very unique way that's very wonderful. But he basically had the disciples then organize events. And one of those events was go out to the park, bring some cards, go just talk to people, say, "Hey, we're here. We want to know how we can pray for you." So we did that. And this was the park across from our house. I went with three of my kids, and we just walked around talking to people, "How can we pray for you?" And I met a guy that night named Jay, and I said, "Hey, could we pray for you?" He's like, "Yeah, I just moved into this hotel. We're leasing it, and it's a hotel right down the street from our house. And we're leasing it, but we're not having anyone come right now. So could you just maybe pray that the Lord would fill it?" And I was like, "We'll happily pray for that, that God would bring people to live in it." I said, "You know, it used to be that farm workers would come and they'd spend like 6 months there. That would be like what this hotel was for. I said, did they not do that anymore? He said, no, they stopped doing that. I was like, well, we'll pray for that. So that night we prayed. And then 2 days later, I believe, Jay came knocking on our door because he knew where we lived. And he brought, I had told him I love Indian food. So he brought some Indian food over, and it was probably the best I've ever had. His wife cooked it. She's an amazing cook. Brought it over, and I said, hey, you want to stay? He's like, no, I got to get back. We're really busy. I was like, you're busy? We just prayed for you. And he said, well, the Lord answered your prayer. Sorry, I can't remember if he said the Lord answered or your prayers have been answered, but he basically said your prayers have been answered. They're coming back. The farm workers are coming, so we're filled up again. I was like, well, that's cool. And so then the Lord started to develop a relationship, and one of the pictures didn't show up in the very beginning. But Anaya, the daughter, Jay, Vipra, and Anaya, they're Hindu, they have been reaching out and wanting their daughter Anaya to hang out with Karis. She's a little younger than Karis, but Karis does a great job of being a friend with her. But they've also had us over to their home to eat several times. And you walk in, there's the temple set up, and they have an aunt or a mother and a father and an uncle living there with them as well. And it was very weird walking in, seeing one of the mothers praying to with the statues here. And I'd never seen that before in a home. And so, but they've had us over, and it was just really cool. They want us to be a part, and that brought up opportunity to ask about their religion. And they just love sharing about their religion with us. So the Lord's developing relationships with people as a result of these outreach in the park. This is a good news club in the school. This guy in the middle here is Josh. He was one of our disciples. He has a cheesy smile on. He doesn't usually look like that, but a great guy. He and his wife, Caitlin, are actually about to head to France as missionaries, being commended from a church up in Iowa. They were students of Emmaus, and he was the captain of the soccer team up there. And here they are again. And this is another point. Believing God for disciples is one that we want to do. God has always brought us great people. But the cool thing is they come with baggage like we all have. And the neat thing is that God always works in their lives in wonderful ways. These are the four guys. So Josh and Caitlin were there, and these four guys were there this year, and you might know some of them. Surian, Paramathis at camp, Toby Allen, Jimmy and Ashley's son, Joseph Rankin, and then this is Ian Gill from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so those four guys were here, and wonderful guys, but it was so cool to see God work in their lives in wonderful ways. And that kind of comes back to that point of standing in God's presence, because that's what we encourage them, is we want you to know God, not just know his word, but actually know him and walk with him. So we give them a Monday and say, go and just spend that day with the Lord. And by the end of their time, that's really what they have found to really enjoy, is being with God on that day. And so God's given great opportunities with the disciples, and here we are in San Francisco. Had to take a picture, Chinatown, with Jackie Chan, or not Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee, thank you, all the guys, Bruce Lee. So not the best Chinese food that day, but great picture. And so this is at their graduation. They all signed this strawberry on the wall here, you can see. They put their names up here. This now is filled with something like 25 strawberries of disciples that have come through. It's kind of their graduation. They're with us usually for 9 months, but some have come for a little bit shorter stints. So we're believing God to bring more disciples in his time, the ones that he wants. Believing God for FBF, that's probably the one that's toughest for me, because we just had a message recently about God at our church, about God loves little churches. Well, we are a little church. And right now, FBF, today meeting, they're having breaking of bread about now. It is probably a very small group today. But God loves little churches, we were reminded, and he loves our church, and God's been working. There's this couple here, Jeremiah and Aria, the Lord brought to us, having some baggage, some issues, and God's been at work in their life, and they both come to know him, but we're still praying that God just gets a hold of them in wonderful ways. This is a really cool story. Josh and Caitlin were actually heading out to the East Coast for some things during Christmas break. Jeremiah and Aria were heading back on the same highway. In the middle of nowhere, they stopped to get some food at Subway, and there they are together on a Sunday. And so they break bread together, probably a Subway sandwich, and remember the Lord together on a Sunday together, and it was just a really encouraging time for them. It's just neat how the Lord specifically answers prayer. And I'd say that was one of the things that Josh and Caitlin saw the most consistent, is God answering specific prayers that they would pray. Again and again, they would give testimony time after time of how God, they would pray something and God would answer that. Really cool to see. This is the Trent family. You may know, some of you may know them. Caleb is the chair of the Turkey Hill Board, and they've been involved at Turkey Hill for a little bit. Lived in St. Louis many, many years ago, but they've been with us for 3-4 years, and they're about to head to Phoenix. Phoenix, Arizona is one of the cities we've been praying for, and it's time to go out there and start the work. So they are actually leaving the end of this month to go to Phoenix. And man, you can pray for them. They expected 3 families to join them. Well, right now it's just them because the other 2 families for different reasons have had to hold off for the time being. So it's what the Lord has. They're trusting the Lord for it, but it's not what was expected. So they're about to head into a new work all by their own. They'll be with Jay and Sue Strotman, which will be a real joy for them. And then something really cool with our church is we never set out to be a commending church, but God has made us a commending or ascending church. And we're about to send, we're sending out the Trents. We're about to send out Megan Reeve here as well. She's David and Betsy Reeve's daughter. And I love this photo because this is just like says Megan all over it. This is how she loves to worship the Lord. This is during one of our youth events. But she's about to head over to Kazakhstan as a missionary. It's been her heart for a long time. And so what we did as a church, we had a little prayer meeting, an all-night prayer meeting where we got together and prayed specifically for Phoenix, but also for Megan as she was heading out to Kazakhstan. And then Rebecca and Ethan were prayed for as well a little bit. They're heading to Las Vegas in January to be a part of a new work in Las Vegas, in Las Vegas. So we're sending out, we actually sent out Rachel Greenwood last year, so now we're sending out 3 more, and it's like we keep sending everyone away that comes to us. So we're getting smaller, it feels like, sometimes. So believing God for our church has been tough for me sometimes. We had a tough situation with a young man this last year that was faithfully come to church, kind of some emotional struggles. And Scott and I are elders, and we'd talk to him, and after he'd interrupt a message and as someone was speaking and kind of call them out, and we'd say, hey, we can't have that happen. And he eventually was kind of following along, but then kind of fell back to his habits, and we kind of had to say, we need to change this habit. And he said, well, I don't need to be here. And so that's been really hard for us, is trying to help our church to grow, at the same time seeing people come to know the Lord and trying to lovingly help them along in a way that's helpful for our church, and then not want to stay there because they can't follow those types of ways that we're asking them. It's a really hard thing to see. So the church this year, it feels like it's shrunk or shrinking, not always in bad ways, but we're believing God for the church in California, Freedom Bible Fellowship, to do some great things. We're believing God for what's next. That's, I guess, kind of with our church as well, but here the guys are demoing or modeling these t-shirts or sweatshirts here. It's for something called The Outlet that we started about a year ago. And it's a youth event that we hold at our church, and it's for all the churches in Watsonville. We just get all the youth together, whoever wants to come. They bring their kids, and we have a time of loving them, sharing Christ, worship, great times of worship, prayer, being together. And it's been a real encouragement. This guy right here in the front, Cesar, is a wonderful young man. He just loves the Lord. This guy loves the Lord. This whole group does, but those 2 guys have been coming to the church, to this event for some time. And it's really neat to see all different denominations coming together to worship the Lord. And we don't know if this is going to continue on this year or not, or if someone's going to take over. Ethan Hanlon has been leading that and has done a terrific job. So we're praying about and asking the Lord, what do you want the outlet to look like? This young guy, I believe it was this one that got saved as a result of the outlet and has been coming, brought his girlfriend who wasn't saved. And so the Lord has used the outlet in these people's lives in wonderful ways. Very thankful for what God's doing. We're looking ahead, believing God for what's ahead with the Trents leaving. They're good friends. There's Karis getting stepped on by Josie at the beach, but they've been good friends to our kids and a massive help to our church. And so it's really hard to see the Trents leave. It's hard to know they won't be there when we get back. But we know that God has wonderful plans for them, and we're trusting him, believing him to use them greatly and to also fill the spot for that they're going to make when they leave. This is FCA, a result of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And God, right before he left, a week before he left, Scott and I met with the director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, And he said, hey, is there any way that we could kind of partner with Freedom Teams? We would love to, you guys are bringing these disciples here and pouring into their lives. We would love to prepare these people to be able to lead an FCA wherever they are in the world and to be a part of FCA. And so like Josh, I mean, he was involved, he's here praying with the high school football team at Watsonville High School. And so we're looking to the Lord to develop that partnership so that we can be used in our community in greater ways with sports and actually preparing these disciples to be able to go and have something that they can fall back on as like an opportunity to share the gospel wherever they would go. It's worldwide FCA in many ways. And so we would prepare them and FCA would prepare them to be able to start another FCA chapter in their community or in their town. We're believing God for what's ahead with the eight cities. This is, we do a prayer retreat every year. This year we're going to be in Boise, Idaho, but this was Helena, Montana. Mr. Kurtula lives there. There's an assembly there. And I wasn't able to make this trip, but the guys were there on a hike after a prayer time. And we're praying in all these different cities. We have two more to pray in, I believe, Boise and Reno. And then we're just asking the Lord to start new works in these towns that we're praying for in his time. We were recently encouraged by a guy from Stewards, Steve Sanchez, a wonderful guy. And he said, man, you got to prepare those young men and women that are coming as disciples to be a part of those works if the Lord would have them. We're like, absolutely. And he said, we're on board with that. We love that. And that's exactly right. We want people to be ready to serve the Lord however and wherever. We have a young man right now, Syrian, who's praying about Phoenix. And he's finishing up his college degree so that he can go get a job and be a part of the Phoenix team in the Lord's time and to serve there in Phoenix alongside the Trents. You can be praying for Syrian with that desire. We're believing God for what's ahead with the building. This is our conference area, our library area, where we do Bible studies. We finished out a lot of the first floor of the building, and we're using it all the time. Like I said, it's our church. It's our Freedom Team's headquarters, which is the group we're a part of. We have people come in and study in these little library areas. We use the main auditorium for all kinds of things. We had a wake there last year for a family whose a relative died. But we're praying about finishing out the upstairs so disciples can live there so we can have more office space. We can use the downstairs for more of a community center than it already is. And so we're looking to the Lord for all those things as well. And then believing God for our family. Man, I don't know about you as parents, but trusting God for my kids is not always the easiest for me as a father. I just want everything to be perfect. And you know what? God's got the kids, and he loves them. And we're doing our best as parents, and when you put all that together, they're in a good spot. God's going to take care of them, and it's really been a joy. I was always afraid of taking the kids out there, but we've seen it be so good for our kids. Recently, we were able to take a trip the Lord provided for us to go to Legoland down in Carlsbad. That was really fun just to get away. We hadn't done that for a long time. It was nice, just three nights away vacation. But, you know, it's been neat. The Lord's brought people out. Here they are with some of their cousins in Monterey or Santa Cruz area. Just people come out to visit. The kids enjoy that. But you know what's really cool is the disciples the Lord brings pour into the kids in really wonderful ways. And CJ... God has used Ethan Hanlon in CJ's life. Here CJ's speaking at it was a short message, 10 minutes up at Pittsburgh. He was speaking, and CJ is not out, he's not a speaker. He doesn't stand in front of people and do these things. But the Lord used Ethan to encourage CJ to do whatever God would give you to do. And it's really cool to see CJ growing to be a young man of God, all of our kids, but specifically in this way, it was cool to see the Lord work in CJ's life. This just happened at the beginning of the summer. And then Lincoln there, it's neat to see how God is using Lincoln. Lincoln is like one of the hardest workers at Freedom Bible Fellowship. He gets the camera ready, he gets the mics ready. I mean, every Sunday, he's the AV tech guy. He's turning into that. It's really neat to see that. How old are you, Lincoln? 12? And so it's cool to have that as a young man serving the Lord in the church already. And then, I had pictures of Karis and Moses, but they're not showing, so you guys got off somehow. But it's cool, like God's working in their lives. God's bringing along individuals to disciple each one of them in wonderful ways, and we just praise God that we can believe God to take care of our kids. And even when things seem hard or difficult or they're away from people you know or whatever it is, God takes care of the people that he loves. And that's our kids. So we praise God for that. Here's a QR code if you have your cameras. If you want to follow us with updates, all you do is scan that. And I see no cameras. I want to see every camera up. Just kidding. If you want to do that, it's in the next three slides. Hint, hint. But if you want to be a part of our updates, you can scan that. And they come out weekly, daily, weekly, or monthly, whenever we post an update. But there'll be one on there shortly after today about Freedom Team, or about us visiting here, because we want everyone to know that we had a good time with you all today. So if you want to follow, this is kind of our new way of getting out information and updates and reports. I think we're kind of moving away from emails, but we want you to be able to be a part of following along with us, because you guys pray and you guys have been supporting in wonderful ways. A few ways to just pray for us specifically. This next season of life, we aren't having disciples until January, because our family's taken furlough, and that's kind of what I head up, is the discipleship side. But you can pray this during my furlough, or our furlough. One of the things I'm going to do is be kind of revamping discipleship, rewriting our curriculum and our plan. We were really encouraged by what Steve Sanchez told us. They need to be prepared individuals to go out, letting them learn what you've learned. And so we're going to start teaching them the things that God has taught us in California. And just like basic, everyday, like living, how to go and do an evangelistic Bible study, how to baptize someone. I mean, I remember the first time baptizing someone in the ocean, it was very different than a little baptismal. So, you know, simple things that you don't know. What do you do after someone gets saved? What's the next step with them? So just very practical preparation for them to be a part of a new work, if that's what God would have. You can pray for us as we pray for the Lord to continue to finish out the Freedom Center. Of course, FBF growth. Yes, we mean numbers for sure. We want to see people in the church. We want to see people coming to know the Lord. We want to see people discipled. We would love our church like to outgrow where we're at, because God is doing a great work in Watsonville. We would love that. We would love God to fill the Baptist church and the other churches in the town as well. And that's one thing that we've had recently this last year. We've had leaders' prayer meetings at our building where the church's leaders have come together to pray for that. And we want to see the churches of Watsonville as a whole, the evangelistic Bible teaching churches, filled with people that are being saved and discipled. So yeah, you can pray for growth, real numbers to be seen. You can pray for us on furlough. There's a lot of unknowns in that right now. We are going to be, like I said, here in Lawrence and camp. We just don't know timing of all those things, so asking the Lord for direction. And then, of course, for our family during furlough season, but also when we return, a lot of things that we're praying through about the next season of life for us. So, I begin this by talking about how don't stop believing God. And that's just the encouragement I want to leave us with as we end. All of what I shared with you, and there's a lot more I could have shared, a lot of stories I could have shared with you, but we've seen God do some really cool things. And I want to say that my part, Micah Williams, I know I couldn't do this if I wasn't standing in God's presence. And I don't know, again, what you guys do in your life, but if we're not individuals that are with God, it's not easy to do it. So I want to encourage you, be with God each day. Trust Him with every season of your life. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Trust Him in it. When the car breaks down the side of the highway, trust God with that. He's got a plan in that. Whatever it may be, trust Him. And then don't stop believing Him. Again, I'm struggling sometimes to believe God with our little church. Is it going to grow? Is it going to see a lot of people discipled? Are we going to be successful in a sense? Believe me is what God reminds me. Believe me. I'm already doing a great work here. Just believe me in my time. So just want to leave you with those three things as I pray here. Don't stop being with God, trust Him, and continue to believe Him in everything that He gives you. Father, I just want to commit Fenton Crossing Bible Church into your hands. I thank you for them. Thank you for the way that they have cared for us as a family out in California. All of that we're doing, I know they have been a huge part of that, Lord, whether it's prayers or the ways they have supported us. And Lord, just even thinking about as simple as Jay and Anaya Vipra being able to have that relationship, well, I don't think we would be able to be out there if it wasn't for Fenton Crossing being a part of the supporting us and caring for us and sending us, Lord. I don't know if Jay and Vipra, or Naya especially, I guess she's heard the gospel now. I don't know if she would have heard it if it hadn't have been for what you have done in us being a part of this church and then being a part of our lives. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can be a part of a work even if we're not physically there. So yeah, thank you for this church. I pray that they will be people that stand in your presence daily, that they trust you with all the seasons of life, and that they believe you. I pray that this church would be greatly blessed because they are people that walk with you and love you and follow you. Not perfect people, but people that want to honor you in their lives. Father, we thank you that you are a God that loves us, and we thank you that you have great plans for us today. Maybe that's rest, maybe that's something else, Lord, but we just want to commit each one to you with those things that they have ahead. Thank you that you're a part of our lives today. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.